It is 7 o'clock, so let's get started, everybody. Tonight, first of all, thank you very much again for coming to learn together, and thank you again to the Young Israel Woodmere and to Rabbi Shai Schachter for arranging all of this. So we're continuing our series of Rav Moshe Feinstein and his halachic adversaries, and tonight we're going to learn about Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and a particular machlokas that he had with Rav Moshe Feinstein. But first, a little bit about Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and then maybe very little about what his connection was with Rav Moshe Feinstein, which doesn't really seem to be very much, other than the fact that they were both absolute gedolei olam. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was about 20 years older than Rav Moshe. He was born in 1873, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael in 1892 as a young man when he was just 19 years old, and he actually helped recruit the Slobodka Yeshiva, which is now known as the Chevrona Yeshiva, and he also helped recruit Rav Israel Meltzer to come to Eretz Yisrael. He had an illustrious group of Rebbeim, right? He had a Sheikhus with Rav Yisrael Salanter, he had a connection with Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, he was a Talmud of Rav Yitzchak Lepanovicher, of Rav Shimon Shkap, Rav Lazer Gordon in Telz. He had an illustrious group of influences in Rebbeim that impacted his life. And in the year 1907, he became a dayan in the Beis Din of the Eidah Charedis, which at that time was under was headed by Rav Shmuel Salant, who is and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank ultimately became the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He was not interested in becoming the chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Herzog became chief rabbi of Israel instead. He thought it would take away too much from his learning, and he was an incredible masmid, but he agreed to become the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, which is a position that he held for 36 years. The position on the Beis Din he held for close to 60 years, and he was the Av Beis Din eventually later on in life. He was also active in beginning the establishment of the office of the chief rabbinate of Israel, and played a critical role in the appointment of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook as the first chief rabbi. And he had many, many famous halachic psukim that became very important in halachic discourse. There were three in particular that became like official Rabbanut Yerushalayim policy that may kitnios are mutter on Pesach for Ashkenazi Jews, that even though kitnios is usher on Pesach, but corn syrup, that which comes from kitnios, is mutter. That was one psak of Tzvi Pesach Frank. He also held that if you were to take powdered milk that was not Chalav Yisrael, that is permissible, it is not a violation of Chalav Yisrael. Powdered milk does not need to be Chalav Yisrael, does not need to be supervised by a Jew, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. By the way, that is a particular issue in which he disagreed with Rav Moshe Feinstein, because Rav Moshe Feinstein very famously held that Chalav HaKompanis is Chalav Yisrael, even if it's not in powdered form. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank did not hold that way, but he held that in powdered form we could be makel. He was also makel on gelatin of nevelus that came from animals that were nevelus, which was very much in disagreement with what became the widely accepted practice in the United States based on the tshuva of Rav Aaron Cutler. He also paskined that he had an ingenious solution in one particular tshuva about a woman with a very strange nida cycle, where she became a nida every 14 days, and it was just impossible for her to become pregnant. She had barely any time to be with her husband, and he had an ingenious counterintuitive solution to explain the details of which would take more time than we can afford to take up in a half hour shiur, but essentially it was a counterintuitive solution where he advised her to not go to the mikvah one cycle and thereby buy herself 5 extra days when she becomes in nida next. I'm not going to go into the details of that, but you could see his outside the box kind of thinking in a tshuva like that. He approved of the idea in the Tshuva in Har Tzvi Chelek Beis Simon Chav Dalid, the idea of making an Erev in Manhattan. Rav Menachem Kasher asked him what he thought about the idea of making an Erev in Manhattan. So that's another place where he was against Rav Moshe and also against Rav Aaron Cutler on that particular point about making an Erev in Manhattan, although he did not give specifics, nor did he actually paskin that they should make an Erev in Manhattan, but he thought that as at least as a possibility as a philosophy, as a halachic possibility that it is something that that could be done. But that's very famously against Rav Moshe Feinstein, although that's not the tshuva we're going to discuss today. And he wrote very important svarim, the Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Arishalas and Tshuvas. Those are probably the most important halachic work that he wrote. The Mekrei Kodesh was not written by him, but it was, it was written up by his family of his Torah on the Moadim, and is also a very well-respected sefer. And he wrote other svarim that are much less widely learned. And he left a pretty prestigious family as well. He had a son who was a member of the Knesset in Eretz Yisrael. He has a grandson he had another son-in-law of Shmuel Rozovsky, who was Rashi Panovich, who was one of the Gedolei Torah, who tragically died in 1979 in his mid-60s, but was one of the Gedolei Torah, and he was a son-in-law of Rav C. Pesach Frank. And his great-grandson is a very important Rosh Yeshiva in America today. Rav Yonason Sachs is a great-grandson of Rav C. Pesach Frank, and often talks about how he grew up not ever having met Rav C. Pesach Frank, because Rav C. Pesach Frank died in 1960. I believe Rav Sachs was born just 2 years after that. But he grew up hearing the stories of Rav C. Pesach Frank. He grew up hearing all about that, what he came from. And he refers to that as a major influence on his life and his Chashiva HaTorah. The stories Rav Sachs tells of Rav C. Pesach Frank, in the years I was privileged to be in the orbit of Rav Yonason Sachs, he used to tell the story how Rav C. Pesach Frank had a shtender at the doorway to his house. Mind you, his whole house was one little room, but he had a shtender at the door. Why a shtender right at the door? Because if he was leaving from his desk to go outside the house, he wanted to learn every step of the way, so he had to have somewhere to put the sefer down right before he left. So he had a shtender at the door, and then when he came back in, he could pick the sefer up right away. When he came back in, every second of Talmud Torah was so important to him, was so critical to him. Rav Sachs told us that Rav C. Pesach Frank used to learn Maseches Beitza when he was in Avelus for his parents. He learned Maseches Beitza every single day throughout Yud Beis Chodesh. What does that mean? A daf of Maseches Beitza? No, the entirety of Maseches Beitza, every single day of Yud Beis Chodesh of Avelus for his parents. Maseches Beitza 40 blot. Rav Sachs told us that throughout his life, Rav C. Pesach Frank used to learn the entirety of Maseches Shabbos every Shabbos. Every Shabbos, he would learn the entire Maseches Shabbos. Those of us doing Daf Yomi, we're about 5 months in to Maseches Shabbos. We're getting close to ending. Can you imagine the entirety of Maseches Shabbos every Shabbos? So Sachs used to tell us these are the stories that he grew up on, but he was also known to have a tremendous heart. The stories they tell, when a poor person would bring him a tray for chicken to check, so if it was an ani and the person couldn't afford chicken, if he would have to trafe it up, if he would have to tell them that it was trafe, he would take money out of his pocket and tell them to go buy another one. He would pay for them to buy another chicken if he felt that they had too much pride to accept any money from him. He would go into the kitchen, he would switch it for another raw chicken that he had, bring out the other raw chicken that's kosher, and say, here, it's kosher. And he just had to look at something, and he would tell them that it's kosher, and replace it with a kosher chicken. A very, very special Jew indeed. What was his connection to Rav Moshe? I have no idea. I don't think he had any connection to Rav Moshe. I tried to search Igros Moshe to see if maybe there were some correspondences back and forth. It doesn't seem. I found one place where he writes to Rav, directly to someone named Rav Tzvi Frank, and I was very taken aback, because Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Yoredei Chelek Gimel, Simen Kuf Mem Ches, to Mar Reb Tzvi Frank. And I said, Mar? Mr. Frank? That's how you're going to refer to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank? I couldn't believe it. And then I saw the tshuva was dated Tavshin Lamed Ches, roughly 1978, or 18 years after Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank died. That was not a tshuva to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. There was another fella named Tzvi Frank that Rav Moshe happened to write a tshuva to. And then I searched a little more, and I found that Rav Moshe does have a couple of tshuvas dedicated entirely to arguing on something that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank wrote. The reason I didn't find it the first time when I searched Bar Ilan is because I was looking for Tzvi Pesach Frank. And each time Rav Moshe refers to him as Pesach Tzvi Frank. So maybe that speaks to the lack of intimate knowledge of each other. He calls him Pesach Tzvi Frank. I don't know if anyone else called him that. Switching the names around. But anyway, in Eben Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Gimel, Rav Moshe, and Simen Kuf Samach Beis, really, about a chalitza, a topic relating to a chalitza. So Rav Moshe refers to Mashe Heshiv Hagon, Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank, Shlita Mirushalayim. So clearly he knew his reputation as a Gon from Yerushalayim. And he rejects an argument that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank makes. He writes, L'anias daiti zeh eno klum, and the entire tshuva is written to argue on a kula that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had with relation to a chalitza. Also, in Eben Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Beis, in a tshuva that's dated Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Tafshin Yud Dalid, which is around 1954, where Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was in his 80s already. Rav Moshe argues with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank directly, and he calls him again Rav Pesach Tzvi, about a tshuva that Rav Tzvi Pesach wrote saying that Bia without Hotzah Zera, that the marital relations without any Zera coming out, is not Mitameh, a person as a Balkeri, and Rav Moshe disagreed, and he says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes a Mishnah LeMelech, but he only quotes half of it, and he claims to have never heard of the other half of the Mishnah LeMelech. How did he not see it? It must have been right in front of him. Whatever it is, a long tshuva where he disagrees with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. But other than that, I didn't see any direct link between that which Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank paskin and that with which Rav Moshe paskin. Nevertheless, there are a number of issues that they disagreed about. Maybe they didn't realize that they were disagreeing with each other, but when you research a number of issues, you can't help but find that that two of the major poskim that dealt with these issues were Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank only has two volumes of Shalos and Tshuvas, so they're not exactly, they're not. It's not like you can, you know, like by Rav Moshe, you can't find a contemporary topic that existed up until the 1980s that Rav Moshe didn't deal with. You can find such things that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank did not write a tshuva about. But that which he did write a tshuva about did have to be dealt with, meaning it was not stam, another rabbi writing a tshuva. Meaning a lot of the discussions we're going to have about Rav Moshe and fill in the blank, whoever the other person is, are about people who are not in the league of Rav Moshe Feinstein, people who are not on the same playing field as Rav Moshe Feinstein, but great Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Torah, just not quite. It's no insult to say that someone is not quite in the same league as Rav Moshe Feinstein. You get the impression, although we're not in the business of judging Gedolim and measuring Gadlus, but you get the impression that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was in the league. He was in the league of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was someone of that very, very great caliber. So now, let's discuss what I wanted to talk about tonight. The topic I want to talk about tonight, where they disagreed with each other, is a topic that comes up in the summertime all the time, and that is the topic of nylon or mesh tzitzis. Tzitzis that are not made out of a natural fiber, but are made out of some sort of synthetic material. And this comes up all the time, and this affects many, many young people who want to have tzitzit when they're running around in the summertime outdoors, and especially a day like today. I don't know what it's like where all of you are, but up here in Wurtsboro, New York, it's in the 90s, probably even hotter over the in the five towns and Teaneck and wherever everybody else is, in Queens and whatever. But when kids are running around, they prefer to have a more comfortable, cooler kind of tzitzis. So just a little bit of background to understand this machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The Torah tells us that a person, that a beged is chayev in tzitzis. So the question is, how does the Torah define beged? Is beged a textile that's made out of any material? Wool, linen, cotton, anything? Or is it limited to wool and linen? The reason to say that it's limited to wool and linen is because the Torah also uses the term beged when it comes to shatnas. And shatnas clearly relates to wool and linen. It's a machlokas rishonim. As a matter of halacha, the mechaber paskins that only tzemer and pishtin are chayiv and tzitzis mida oraisa. That if you have a beged of sharminim, you have a cotton beged, the mechaber writes, the Maran Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's only chayiv and tzitzis midrabanan. But it is chayiv and tzitzis, just midrabanan. However, the Ramah disagrees. For Ashkenazi Jews, the Ramah paskins that a beged made out of sharminim, made out of anything else, but tzemer upishtim, is chayiv and tzitzis mida oraisa. That cotton is chayiv and tzitzis the same way tzemer upishtim is chayiv and tzitzis. That we paskin like those rishonim. And therefore, for an Ashkenazi Jew, it would seem that there's absolutely no need whatsoever to be makbid to wear a woolen beged, you know, for talis katan, because anyway, your cotton beged is chayiv and tzitzis on a daraisa level. For a Sephardi Jew, you understand why one would be machmir. One is not obligated to. You can wear a cotton beged also and get the mitzvah of tzitzis on a drabanan level, but you understand why one would want to be machmir and wear a wool beged to get the mitzvah of tzitzis on a daraisa level for a Sephardi Jew. Nafkamina, whether it's chayiv and tzitzis midrabanan or midaraisa, well, one nafkamina might be, like we just said, should you try to wear wool? Should a person go out of their way to try to wear a wool beged? If you hold that every beged is chayiv midaraisa, there's no sense in being extra machmir about that. But if you hold that only tzemer pishtim is chayiv midaraisa, and nowadays that would mean only tzemer, you can't wear pishtim because of shatness issues. So it would mean that you would have to wear a wool beged. Now, another nafkamina might be any case of suffek. Let's say you have a beged that you're masupuk, if it's chayiv and tzitzis. So if it's a cotton beged and you hold that cotton is only chayiv midrabanan, you would say suffek drabanan lekula. But if it's a cotton beged and you hold that cotton is chayiv midaraisa, like Ashkenazim do, so then you would say suffek daraisa lechumra. Or another nafkamina might be, do you have to remove it if you see some sort of psul in the tzitzis? And it would be embarrassing to remove it. It would be embarrassing to take off the tzitzis. It would be a kavod habrios issue. For the sake of kavod habrios, one is allowed to violate an iser derabanan, but one is not allowed to violate an iser daraisa. It's a sugya in brachos and daf yotes. So if it's a matter of maintaining your dignity, let's say a person is a chazan and they're wearing this impressive talis, and the chazan in the middle of chazaras hashatz, he know on Yom Noraim or something, and he was hired to be the guest chazan or something, and he notices that there's a psul in his tzitzis, so now he's wearing a beged of dalet kanfos without tzitzis. What kind of avera is he doing? Is he doing an iser daraisa or an iser derabanan? So if it's an iser daraisa, then ein chachma, ein etza, ein tvuna neged Hashem. There is no kavod habrios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all that matters. The kavod of Hashem is all that matters, and he would have to remove the tzitzis. But if it's only derabanan, then he would not be obligated to remove the tzitzis because his kavod habrios would win. Now one would think that those poskim who generally are machmir for every chumrah and every shita would be machmir to wear wool tzitzis, to be yotzei those shitos in Rishonim, that wool tzitzis are chayiv midaraisa and the cotton tzitzis are not chayiv midaraisa. But yet, the Maaser Rav tells us that the Vilna Gaon, no less a person than the Vilna Gaon, wore cotton tzitzis, that the stipler wore cotton tzitzis. Rechaim Kenyavsky, that Chaznish in Orchis Rabbeinu also says wore cotton tzitzis. Rechaim Kenyavsky suggested that probably they wanted to publicize that we paskin cotton is chayiv midaraisa. So their way of publicizing was dafka wearing cotton tzitzis. There are those that suggest that no, if you live in Bnei Brak with no air conditioning in the pre-air conditioning days, if you live in Bnei Brak, it's hard to say that wearing a wool beged is even a beged at all in the summertime, right? It's 110 degrees outside. It's humid like anything. Who in their right mind would ever put on a wool beged under such circumstances? So there are those that want to suggest that it's not even called hana'as levisha, that you're not even getting the hana'a that one normally gets from a beged if you're wearing a wool beged. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Halicha Shlomo disagrees with such a svara. And he says that people wear, if they wear that tzitzis all the time, then it's certainly a beged for them. And Rav Moshe held the same. But this brings us to our discussion. What about synthetic material? Now that we know that materials other than wool and linen are definitely chayiv and tzitzis, It's only a question whether it's chayiv d'oraisa or midrabanan. So what about synthetic material? So the poskim discuss that maybe synthetic material will be pater from tzitzis entirely. So how so? Because there's a Gemara in Maseches Menachos that Memam Beis, where the Gemara tells us, he shall beget, uknafeho shall or chayeves betzitzis. That if the main part of the garment is made out of cloth, but the corners of the garment are made out of leather, it's chayev and tzitzis. He shall or uknafeho shall beged petura. If the main part of the garment is made out of leather and the corners are made out of cloth, then it's pata from tzitzis. My taima, ikur beged bayinan. And the reason is that what we look at in terms of the chi of tzitzis is the main part of the beged and not the corner. But what you see from that Gemara is that a leather beged is pata from tzitzis. So apparently there are some types of begadim that are not going to be chayv in tzitzis, not midoraisa, and not midrabanan. They simply aren't called a beged. So now we have to look at synthetic materials. Should we say that synthetic materials are more like or, they're more like leather, and therefore they're not chayv in tzitzis? So we have to think, why is it that or is pater from tzitzis? Well, we don't have to guess. The Brice and Menachos, the Vlamet test tells us that we learn from haknaf that only that which is made from strands that are woven together is called a beged. Or is a slice, is a piece that just peels right off of the animal and is not made from woven strands. And therefore, it's not even called a beged of any kind. It would therefore turn out that synthetic materials that also could be made as one big flat sheet are pata from tzitzis. But on the flip side, it could be that since some synthetic materials are then cut down into strips and woven together like a beged, that they would be chayiv in tzitzis, even though they could be made as one flat sheet, but they're not always made as one flat sheet. Sometimes they're made in a way where strands of synthetic material are made, and then they are woven together to become a beged. So we'll discuss the tzitzis with the holes in the middle soon in a second. But first, you have to get to the basic point of what happened. What's it made out of? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelik Beis Simen Aleph. He writes Upashut Sha'af Imasumea or Ritzuos Dakos Kichutan VaOrgam VaAsam Beged. He says, let me ask you, what would happen if you would take a big sheet of leather, you cut it into very thin strips, and then you would weave that leather together to make a woven leather beged? Chayiv in tzitzis or pata from tzitzis? He says, of course it would be pata from tzitzis. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, begadim deminim elu, de nylon, vireyon, uchadome, all of these synthetic materials, nylon and rayon, you don't have to make them out of strands that are woven together. They could be made as one flat sheet. And that would be the same as a leather beged that were made into little strands and then woven together. And therefore, it's pata from tzitzis, even if you made it from strands that you then wove together. Especially if you hold that sharminim are only chayiv midrabanan, only those that are most similar to tzemer or pishtim that require tviya va'ariga, spinning and weaving, only those begadim would be chayiv in tzitzis, even on a drabanan level, because as opposed to big they are. So Rav Moshe therefore comes to the conclusion that it is obvious to him that that begadim that are made out of synthetic material are absolutely pata from tzitzis. If they are pata from tzitzis, and one recites a bracha on such a beged, it is a bracha levatala. So that's how Rav Moshe paskins. On the other side, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Chelek Aleph Simen Tes, has a more nuanced approach. And he writes, Milashon HaPoskim Shekasvu, based on just the simple reading of the poskim who say, Dekalmine Begadim Chayavim, Humishum She'eno Nerag, Uklal Hulinian Tzitzis, Shekol She'eno Maisa Oreg, Eino Bechlal Beged, Ve'eno Chayiv B'Tzitzis. That the simple reason that leather is pata from tzitzis is because it is not woven. And the basic rule is, anything that's not woven is pata from tzitzis. Oh, so what does that do with nylon? Uli inyan she'el seinu hinei b'nylon yesh neiminin. He said, I've consulted with factories that make nylon materials, and apparently there are two different types of nylon. Yesh min nylon ha'asui kulo chaticha achas, v'lo michutim ve'eno maisa oreg. Sometimes nylon is made as one flat sheet, not a bunch of strands that are woven together. He says, in that case, it's going to be pata from tzitzis. Ulam yesh gam nylon ha'asui michute nylon v'u maisa arak. But then there's another type of nylon where they actually weave the strands together. Utalis mimin ze vaday shu nichlal b'chal beged v'chayiv b'tzitzis. And a talis of that sort is going to be chayiv in tzitzis. The Tzitz Eliezer, who we spoke about last week, agrees with the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank on this issue, that one should take a more nuanced view and say that it's not all or nothing, and that it's not either all synthetic materials are chayiv or all synthetic materials are pater. It depends how you make the synthetic material. What about the third possibility, the third logical possibility? If Rav Moshe holds that synthetic materials are always going to be pater from tzitzis, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says sometimes yes, sometimes no, it depends if it's woven together. Is there anyone that holds the third possibility, that synthetic materials are always going to be chayiv in tzitzis? So there is such a shita. There's a tshuva of the Oz Nidberu, Rav Binyamin Zilber. Maybe one week we'll talk about Rav Binyamin Zilber and his disagreements with Rav Moshe Feinstein. But in the tshuva's Oz Nidberu, Chelek Zayin Simen Nun Beis, he writes that even if it's not woven at all, it's chayiv in tzitzis. Because when the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Yud, Sivkad Nidalf, discusses the begadim that are chayiv in tzitzis, he leaves out the word arug when he's quoting the Lavush. So it sounds like the reason that leather is pater is because it's not the derech to make begadim out of leather, and that's why it's mufka mitzitzis. But anything that it's the derech to make out of leather, anything like that would be chayiv in tzitzis. And to make anything that's the derech to make a beged out of would be chayiv in tzitzis. And since nylon and rayon are very common materials that one is going to make a beged out of, and one would certainly be chayiv in tzitzis. So it turns out that yes, this is machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Har Tzvi and the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but they don't argue to the two extremes. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank takes a more moderate view, a more nuanced view, whereas Rav Moshe absolutely rejects it. It happens to be, by the way, Rav Moshe writes that he himself wears a wool talis katan even in the summertime, because he wants to be mekayim the mitzvah to say daraisa. But he says you shouldn't ask bachrim in yeshiva to be makbid about that, especially since the Ramah paskins anyway that katan tzitzis is chayiv in daraisa. But he says, one thing we do have to be makbid about, and this is very often a problem with the mesh tzitzis and the nylon tzitzis, even if you want to hold like Rabbi Yamin Zilber, Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva and Chelekesim and Chav that very often those begadim are tiny. They're made and they're very, very small, much less than the shear. So he says that that's something that that a person has to be careful about, that they become less than the shear, and then they're going to be pater from tzitzis. So one has to be careful that they have a proper shear tzitzis. What if you want to hold like Rabbi Yamin Zilber, but it has all these holes in it, and it's part of Tmeruba Alomid, it has more holes, you know, the mesh tzitzis have more holes than it has actual material. So Rav Shachter Shlita thought, part of Tmeruba Alomid, it's not a beged. You can never walk out in public with such begadim that it would not qualify as a beged. Rabbi Yamin Zilber, who maybe again we'll learn about one of these weeks, was known as Binyamin Atzadik, a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He said that that he thinks it's a big mitzvah to be makil on that issue, and he said that there are factories that make it, and it's impossible that there are factories that make it that have not consulted with a great posek before starting to produce such a thing. So obviously they consulted with the posek and they were told that it's okay. So Binyamin Zilber says that obviously there's Yesh HaMilismach, which is quite a limud zechus that no one would ever do anything without consulting with the great posek first. So again, this may not seem like the greatest machlokas, certainly not the magnitude of last week's machlokas about abortion with the Tzitz Eliezer, but every machlokas in halacha makes a difference, and this is one that's very relevant to thousands and thousands of people, particularly young people who want to be mekayim in the midst of tzitzis each and every day. Haven't yet decided what we're going to do next week, but Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll meet back here, same time, and we'll discuss some other tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein and a different gadol who he disagrees with. Everyone should have a meaningful fast, a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week, Be'ez Hashem.
Nashkoach. Thank you. Have a good night.